the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. No doubt everyone who is not here now is probably glued to their televisions, looking at what's happening in Egypt at the moment. It's unprecedented, it's frightening for a lot of people, it's very heartbreaking for a lot of people. For many people, just watching this is another news item. But for many of us here, we know these streets. I'm sure you've all visited these areas when you look at the square, or you look at that area around there, a very central tourist area where the museum is, and where lots of different things are. I'm sure you can equate it and relate it to better times. And I do think that at the moment we need to put things in perspective. In looking at all of this, we need to look at what's happening and appreciate it for what it is, but also not forget that as Christians, we look at things very differently. This is history in the making, it's something that will probably change Egypt for a long time. And it's got the greatest of political analysts completely stumped. They have no idea what's happening. They have no idea what's going. You can switch television channels and get a variety of analysis. And it's all going to be pretty much contradictory. And at the end of the day, people throw their hands up and say, oh, we don't know. We don't know where it's going. Where's it going to be in a day, a week? Where is this all headed? And we're not sure. But what we do know is that there is one verse that we want to fix all of this on. And the verse is very, very essential to us. Proverbs 3:5 says to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because you know, trust signifies in some small way a lack of understanding. Because if we understood, we wouldn't really have to specifically trust. Think about yourself as a child growing up. When you're close to your parents, and suddenly something happens, a loud noise, a big bang, a situation you're aware of, something you're prepared for. There's an element of fear. And the fact that you trust in your parents there, and your father, your mom there, and someone who's older, someone you're responsible for, someone you look up to, and someone you trust, is because you don't understand what's happening. And it's at times like this, specifically at times like this, when our own understanding comes to a halt, that our trust has to kick in. We need to realize that the world was created by God. And so the world in itself, in comparison to God, is limited. And so God, because the world is limited, will always understand the world. But the world, because it is limited, won't always understand God. And that's the problem we're having at the moment. The world doesn't understand God, so therefore God must be a fallacy. The world doesn't understand how God works and what God is doing, therefore God must not exist. But the opposite is actually true. It's because the world doesn't understand God because it's limited, that we need to believe in Him. And we need to look to Him for answers. And we need to look to Him for what we should think or we should do. For some people, this appears to be living in delusion. Marx speaks of religion being the opium of the people. When we lull ourselves into a false sense of security, we put ourselves into a sense of numbness. And we just believe in God because it numbs all our other concerns. But God is not about numbing our concerns. God is about reassuring us and allowing us to understand. Let me read you a passage or a verse that is not really going to be very reassuring. Deuteronomy 28:52. They shall besiege you at all your gates, until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down from your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates, throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. It speaks about that sort of victory of the world over us. But what it says specifically here is that they shall besiege you until those high walls, those high and fortified walls, fortified just means strengthened, right? Those high, so you've got those sort of, you can't climb them, and they're fortified, you can't go through them. They're impossible. You can't force your way through it because it's fortified, and you can't jump over it because it's high. But even these high and fortified walls, which you have put your trust into, they shall be broken. When our trust goes into worldly elements, they can be broken down. Any worldly elements. Does this mean we don't believe in anything in the world? No, of course we believe in some things. There are some things that are intrinsic. Things that God has given us, our families, our fellowship, our church, our friendships. Of course we're all going to have weaknesses. You know, I'll let you down, sometimes you'll forgive me, you let me down, I'll forgive you. It doesn't mean I don't trust anyone. But it means we don't put all our trust into the power of this world. Nothing is invincible. There is nothing that will not fall. Because this world was never ever meant to last forever. It wasn't. It's like, you know, when you're a child and you get something, your favorite thing, that you want to last forever. It's not made to last, it's perishable. It's going to go bad and disintegrate. But you don't want to hold on to it. And sometimes we hold on to the world exactly the same way. We want to hold on to it the way it is. It's not meant to be like that. It's going to fall away. How many empires have we seen fall? You know, if you think current governments are awesome, as in full of awe, you know, Greek Empire, Roman Empire, and they're fallen. Why? Because they're perishable. Anything on this earth, anyone on this earth is perishable. So when we put our trust in that which is perishable, we're going to be let down. And that's why when we look at accounts of the last few days, our emotions rise and fall, rise and fall. Can we trust? Can we not trust? Are the protesters legitimate? Are they led? Is the president telling the truth? Is he lying? Are people there for the right reason? Are they manipulated? And our emotions go up and down, right? Because we're talking about individuals. The answer to all of those questions is we don't know. What we do know, however, is that our God is a God of absolute strength and absolute faithfulness. What we do know, however, is our God is a trustworthy God. And he will not leave us. He won't. He won't leave us, and he won't leave anyone who is seeking him, or anyone who actually goes towards him. Job 15:31, we read, "Let him not trust in futile things, deceiving himself, for futility will be his reward." Let us not trust in futile things. Because if you trust in something that is futile, what do you get back? Something that is futile. Our Lord himself said, you tell a tree by its fruits. If you go to a bad tree, you get bad fruits. If you trust in a futile world, you get back futility. And we can't have futility because we put our trust in the wrong place. There's a wonderful story that I've shared with you in the past, and it's one of my favorites. And it's the story of Nehemiah. And it's very similar to what we're seeing these days. Nehemiah was one of the children of Israel who was exiled when Jerusalem fell. And as he was away, in captivity, his heart was very much with Jerusalem as destroyed. Just as today, we're sitting here and our hearts are reaching. What's happening over there? Those horrific scenes that we've been seeing all day. Those people who are fighting, those people who are injured, people who have died, people who have lost sons, brothers, husbands. And we sit here and, at the time, long time ago, Nehemiah used to have to depend on people coming through and asking him. He didn't have Twitter and Facebook and telephones and all of these means of communication. Today, it's just sped up. We're asking. Whereas Nehemiah had to wait for people coming through the kingdom, we're asking every minute, how's this person? How's that person? What are you doing? How's the situation over there? Is it calming down? Is it becoming more agitated? And he had a real heart for the land of his fathers. And at the time, we're told that Jerusalem was so thoroughly destroyed. And this was the prophecy that I wanted to spoke a bit about here. When you read in Jerusalem, you read that the walls had been destroyed and the gates had been burnt. This was the great city of God that was impregnable, untouchable. But you know the beautiful thing about the story of Nehemiah? Is that in him going back, it was rebuilt. And it was only rebuilt at the time when God was ready to rebuild it for his children. You think, why? Why were they left in captivity for so long? Again, why is not a question I can answer. It's not a question you can answer. Not even a question that I can answer. The only answer is, we trust. We trust. And because we trust, we are sure that he will act just at the right time, in the right way, for the right conclusion, for the right end. When we're there, when we're in the midst of this, and we're living in anxiety and uncertainty, when we're in fear and tribulation, when we feel that we don't know why things are happening, we need to remember that verse we started with. Trust the Lord with all your heart. sure you've been sitting with, you know, your parents and people who have all of these incredible, sort of, all of this incredible political knowledge. How many of them have been wrong in the last few days? You sort of, you have this theory, and yes, well, this is going to happen. Hang on, it didn't. The exact opposite happened. And hang on, well, the exact opposite happened again. And okay, well, hang on, it just changed again. Our understanding leads us in so many different ways. And while we're just looking at this incident in Egypt as a step in history, we deal with our lives in very much the same way. Why is this happening? Why am I doing this? Why am I going through this? Why am I reacting to this? Why are these people doing this to me? And constantly, constantly, what happens? I come up with one theory and next. And you come up with one theory, the exact opposite. And I end up being wrong, so I reevaluate, and I'm wrong again. And we spend so much time and energy. And that's why, as soon as I saw this happening yesterday, I thought the best thing for us as a church, as people, is let's pray together. Let's fast together. Because we can sit, and we can sit here and debate, and I'm sure you've probably had your own online debates with people over the last couple of days on who's right and who's wrong. And everyone is adamant that they know and they're right. And we all end up being wrong somewhere along the way. So I thought, you know, the best thing to do for us over these couple of days is to really trust in the Lord our God and lean not on our own understanding. Rather than spending time, wasting time in analyzing and reanalyzing, let's spend our time in prayer. And when we pray, I want us to pray for everyone. I want us to pray for people who are protesting, pro and anti. I want us to pray for those poor soldiers out there who really don't know which way they're going to do. Because they're trying to be faithful. And they're trying to do the right thing. And don't forget, these are men under instruction. Pray for people who are in government at the moment. And that God gives them wisdom. And God gives them compassion. Pray for people leading the people. His Holiness the Pope. People who are leading the Islamic community there, Sheikh al-Azhar, Mufti. Civil leaders, church leaders, Islamic leaders, everywhere. Why? Because if we pray, then we're hopeful that God will work in the right time and the right way. And we want to depend on Him. And a beautiful verse comes to mind from Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. How many of us can actually turn around and say, O my God, I trust in you. Oh my God, I trust in you. Do we trust in Him really? Are we able to put our trust completely in Him? Are we able somehow to overcome all of this and to place our trust completely in God to the extent, and I know this sounds ridiculous at the moment, to the extent that we are sure, without a doubt, that He will do the right thing at the right time. I was in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about God doing the right thing at the right time. And to my mind came Jonah. Jonah, who decided to run away from God and use his own understanding and wisdom, hopped on a boat going the other way, started his journey. Suddenly something happened, they threw him in the water, thinking, okay, things can't be worse. Now, they did. Because he was swallowed by a great fish. Now, I was saying back then that our Coptic iconography is beautiful, because you have these beautiful icons with Jonah, with a sort of beaming face, big halo around his head, kneeling down, fists clenched, praying in serenity in the middle of the painting, on the inside of the whale. Right? Now, if you don't want to know what it was really like, go to the fish market very early in the morning. That's probably closer to the truth. Right? Imagine not being on the outside, you know, smelling and looking at the fish, but you're on the inside. That's what it was really like. At the time, did he think this was going to be his salvation? He really must have been in church. But still, he found the trust in God even then to pray in the belly of the great fish. Now, we find ourselves in the belly of this great fish these days, where things are dark, uncertain. This thing is moving, but we don't know where it's going. There's a lot of commotion around us. It's unpleasant. We feel all of this. Yet, as Jonah did, we must have trust. Have trust that at the end of this journey, however long it was, and for him, you know, those 3 days must have felt like 3 years. But for him, time passed because he trusted in God. By this time, he's trusting him. So as we're going through this journey, we need to trust him. And we need to lift up our souls and our hearts to him, confident that he will never, ever let us down. One verse I find myself sort of constantly using over this last month, ever since 1st of January, what happened when I was hungry. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, if I trust in God, then I trust that everything that God does is going to be in line with these thoughts that he thinks towards us. Because God doesn't change. God is not like me. God is not like you. God doesn't wake up one morning and think, you know what, I can't stand it. Then the next day, you know what, I'm right. Next day is, well, I can just about tolerate it. Not that I think that anymore. Some of you may. But what God does is he is always there, and his thoughts are constant, and his thoughts of love are constant, and his desire for us is constant, and that desire is what? It is for peace, not evil, for future and a hope. That's got to be in the background of our prayers constantly. Lord, I know what you want for me. I know you don't change. I'm confident that you're there. We can't split ourselves and sometimes be praying and think, yes, God, I'm confident that you're there, and then sit in front of our television set thinking, where are you, God? We can't be confident in his love and his thoughts towards us and then turn around one day and say, why have you left me? We can't constantly be changing, going backwards and forwards, to and fro. Just as God is consistent, our thoughts of God must be consistent. Just as God doesn't change, our thoughts of Him must not change. Because what happens when our thoughts change? We lose hope. We become distressed. We become burdened. Why? Because according to our understanding, things just can't get better. Or we don't know when they're going to get better, or if they're going to get better. But if in the background of my mind constant, if the foundation to my prayer is constant, is always that God is trustworthy, God is eternal, God is unchanging, God is faithful. God has thoughts of peace and future and hope for me, then whether I'm thinking about the results I want to get, or the job I want to have, or what I want to do with the next step in my life, or what's happening in Egypt, or what's happening anywhere else in the world, you know, think about poor people in Australia at the moment. They come out of floods a few weeks ago, they're into a hurricane today. How do you reconcile that? I don't know. But what do I know? I know God's thoughts towards me are of good, and of hope, and of the future. Why do you think the martyrs went to their death glorifying God? Go to the executioner, I know. But what are we going to get from the executioner? I don't know. What's going to happen with me? I don't know. What do I know? I know that I love my God. And I know that because I love my God, I am confident in Him. And I am confident that His heart towards me doesn't change. And I am confident that because His heart doesn't change, His heart is for peace and not evil, for the future and for hope. And the future that He does give us is an everlasting life. But I want to throw something your way. Because we constantly keep putting things off. Right? And I'm going to put two verses towards you. The first is, when do I start trusting? Well, you know, when I've done what I need to do and I have sort of old and grey and I have nothing else to do. Because you know what? I believe in my own power, my strength, and my own ability. And once I've done all that, and I sort of run out of stamina and steam, I just trust God because I can't do anything else, so let Him do the rest. No, not at all. Psalm 71:5. For You are my hope, O Lord. For You are my hope, O Lord. You are my trust from my youth. From very early on. Trusting God from very early on. Trusting God from now. Don't just say, you know, these are small things I'm going through in my life. My exams, my job interviews, my work, my colleagues at work. You know, these are just small things. I don't really want to trust God now. I'll trust God with big things. Like who to marry and where to live and how to bring my kids up. Really big decision like that. I don't need to trust God. I'll win. I'll be fine. How can we trust God in big things if we don't trust Him in small things? Because trust is something that builds up. So if I'm dealing with any one of you, you know, with Jackie, with Angela, with John, with anyone of you, and if I haven't trusted you in small things and built up that trust slowly, how do I trust you in something that's big? If I haven't dealt with you superficially from a very early stage and trusted you in those small things, or you haven't trusted me, and then as time goes on you trust me with more and more, how does it work? Do we really think that if we don't deal with God and if we don't trust Him in the small things, that we're going to trust Him in the big things? Never. Never. So we trust in Him from our youth. Okay, so Lord, we now realize from when we trust in Him, but when do we trust in Him? Under what circumstance? In what situation? Psalm 62:8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. How apt is that in days we're in there? In days where we've dedicated these 3 days to prayer and fasting. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. Place your prayers and your petitions and your desires and your needs before Him. God is a refuge. And God is a refuge for us. God is our only refuge. God is our only hope. God is our only trust. So as you look on to what's happening now on the news, and as you look on to your own life, I'm sure there are certain times of your life that for you personally seem as turbulent as what is happening for a nation state generally. We all go through times of turbulence and difficulty and uncertainty and internal conflict. And at that time, we continue to trust. I want to leave you with this first. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. We pray with Him. Just take a little reflect on it. Following orders is one thing. The nearest question is, if you're a member of the security services, then you come up and say, well, I've been instructed to shoot. Following orders cannot supersede conscience. It's a difficult decision. In terms, obviously, of, let's say, people at war, who are defending their nation, and they're out and they're in war, it's very different to going out and shooting in peacetime within a civilian crowd. That's a very different scenario. But I pray that God never puts any of us in that situation. But following laws of man can never supersede following laws of God. And conscience and and that's what's happened. Let's say if we look at many of the saints who were soldiers in the past, where they were ordered to kill, and they said, we can't kill. And they were killed for their witness that they took it, because they felt that they could not supersede their conscience. Any questions? what
Our God is trustworthy and will never leave us.
Thank you. Two.
Trust in Him from your youth.
Trust in Him from your youth. Thank you. Three.
Be constant,
don't waste emotional time and energy saying why you're with this God, why you left me, because He hasn't left us. Get the message. Four. From the smallest things though, be faithful in what is small first. Actually, today's gospel, we had a message this morning, and the gospel today was about the steward who was called by his master to give account. And the end of the gospel says, if you have not been faithful in what is little, how can you be entrusted with what is much? Thank you. Five.
Perishable things are supposed to be perishable.
Perishable things are supposed to be perishable. The world is not supposed to last forever. Things will change. Things will fall. But our God is a mighty God who always, always stays. Anyone else? Sure. Think.
Don't rely on
your
understanding.
That was it?
Yeah.
I'm sure I must have sensed that. Where is the word?